and welcome to Cannon Fodder. This is the supplementary show to the 20-Sided Podcast, all about world building and lore. This is an exercise in collaboration, improvisation, and storytelling. Each week, we feature a guest who will determine what topic we're discussing by spinning the wheel of world building. Topics can really be anything. Last week, we discussed the fashion of the graying city of Venna. This week could be literature of the untethered cities, sports in the Frostshire, idioms of the Meyerwood Forest, really anything at all. We're going to let fate decide. Whatever we come up with, no matter how crazy, will become canon within the Fractured Realms and within the 20-Sided Podcast itself. So, as I've said before, we've got the fate of the world in our hands, so no pressure. Today's guest is a...
I'm sorry, man. Go on.
Today's guest is a comedian, actor, and artist from Brooklyn, New York. He is a very good friend and the best-looking person I know, Julian Edward Williams!
Hi, welcome! Brian. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I like the way that you speak.
Oh, thank you.
In this situation, because this is, I don't know if you guys have heard this. If anyone listens and doesn't know Brian, this is not your normal voice.
This is not.
This is like 92. I did do the radio when I went to college. I had to. I chose to. And I have to go 92 WICB in station 4 innovation.
Yeah, that's not how I normally talk. A bonus.
Yeah.
Bonus. I'm also, since this is an audio medium, only Julian knows that I'm doing a lot of weird hand gestures.
You're throwing your hands in the air. And it's really just you and me.
Makes me work. It feels right. So that's just what I'm doing.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it is what it is.
So do I have the premise correctly? So we're going to pick a topic and then some kind of fantastical element.
Yeah.
And then just I'll decide what that's going to be like. Partially.
Yeah, we're going to like talk through it together and kind of like slowly build out, like kind of parse it out.
Okay.
And whatever we decide on, that's what the world is.
Okay.
But before we get into it, tell me a little bit. I know you like fantasy and sci-fi a bit. I know you're a big Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
You're a fan of The Prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of your relationship with like sci-fi, fantasy? What's the kind of stuff that you really lean towards?
I really enjoy like space.
Okay.
Or any kind of sci-fi, any kind of futuristic dystopian. I don't really go fantasy a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading The Lord of the Rings for, not for school. I read them individually, independently rather. And I read The Hobbit and people were like, gotta read The Hobbit for high school, you know, for the reading list. And I thought it was the dumbest fucking, can you curse on this?
Yeah, you can curse.
I thought it was the dumbest fucking book I ever read in my entire, I was like, why didn't he just say fuck it? Why didn't he just take, or not, you don't do it. The whole situation with the ring, just let it go. I was like, Harry Potter, the same thing. Like, I wouldn't go to that school. If I was like in Gryffindor and they were like, you got to help us fight. Like, no, every year you and these two other kids get into bullshit. And I'm just trying to get an education. Like, I don't want to deal with you.
You know, to be fair, every time J.K. Rowling puts out like a new little bit of like world building, it's just like, you should stop. We don't need to know how the plumbing works at Hogwarts. We don't need to know any of that. Just stop. If you would shut up after the seventh book, everyone would still love J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
And now she just kept talking.
It's terrible. And now I think she's like, not canceled, but I think didn't she get into trouble?
Oh yeah, she's done.
She's done.
Yeah. Okay. The Harry Potter will always be, you know, a favorite of people's, but now it's like, it's just tainted now.
Yeah.
She kind of ruined it a little
bit. She's not cool. But that's what happens when you keep going and you keep going. And in fantasy situations, you can just keep doing that.
Yeah.
And I feel like sci-fi usually has, I mean, they do that too, but there's much more definitive, like this planet is going to explode or it's not, period.
Yeah.
That's a very specific movie that I'm not pulling up right now. But just more like, yeah, anything with like elves and like more like fantastical things have never been my thing. But sci-fi, really, really, like I read like 1984. I read 1984 in like Brave New World,
mm-hmm.
way too early.
Okay, sure.
It really informed a lot of my, I call it sarcasm. It's like nihilistic.
Like, just nihilistic humor.
Yeah, it was a good 12-year-old Julian just being like, you know, nothing really matters.
Yeah,
and they're coming for us. You should read this. And I gave it to like another guy. He was like, what is this about? And I was like, You're going to be one of the ones. You're going to be one of the ones they get.
And that man is in a deep, depressive spiral since then.
He's probably on Wall Street. It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay, so this is going to be interesting, especially if you're not big into fantasy, but more into sci-fi. So whatever we kind of come up with, I'm guessing is going to have a bit more of that kind of sci-fi real world bent to
sure.
it.
Sure.
Maybe, maybe not. We're going to find out.
Okay.
Because are you ready? It is time
mm-hmm.
to spin... The Wheel of World Building. I'm going to throw a whole bunch of reverb on that and echo and stuff. It's going to be great. I'm going to leave that part in about me explaining how audio editing works for the viewers.
Tell them how you do it.
Just a whole bunch of little things. Is there anything on the wheel there that you see immediately interests you, that catches your eye, or that you definitely want to stay away from before we give it a spin?
Oh, just something that jumps out at me.
Yeah, is there anything jumping out at you?
Food.
Food?
Yeah. And love then to talk about some of them are upside down. And
you are a very good cook.
Oh, thank you. You too.
No, thank you.
Wild card. I like that.
Wild card is just, hey, we're going to pick something at random.
Taboos. I can't read, by the way.
It can be either actual taboos or just games of taboo.
Oh, okay. A game I don't think I've ever played.
Yeah, it's good.
The footish? The foolish. Something the foolish.
Oh, yes. It's there's a whole section in there of like the 9 major deities of the world.
Oh,
so if we land on one of those, we'll kind of like talk through either a bit of that deity or maybe like the worshippers of that deity or that type of thing.
This thing that you've created is quite the thing. It's quite amazing to me.
This is a great way to do it because I just built a very hollow mountain and now I'm having a bunch of friends over to help me fill it in.
That's amazing right now. Yeah. Jesus.
So I think it's time. Let's go ahead and spin that wheel. Go ahead and give it a click. And what do we get?
Taboos.
Taboos. Okay. I think this is going to be very fun. So before we kind of start on taboos in general, let's probably pick like a continent or an area, and then we'll kind of go for the taboos within that region.
Okay.
So there are 3 major continents. There is Azore, which is the like kind of mountainous continent. That's where the Drake Empire is in the lowlands, and the untethered cities are like floating cities in the sky. There is Ceruya, which is like a kind of Venetian flooded continent. That's where like season 1 of 20 Sided Podcast was kind of set. That was the starting point. Mm-hmm. And then there is Veridun, which is kind of a combination of like elven, like classic elven woods and also uncharted deserts, essentially. Continent's kind of interesting you?
I like the first one.
Azore?
Sure.
Do you want to go with the untethered cities, which are like kind of metropolis in the sky? Or you want to go Drake Empire, which is like wasteland type stuff?
Is this like a Queens, Brooklyn versus Manhattan type of thing? Like, can you give me more of like?
Yeah. Untethered cities are very much
the high quality
like Manhattan, like super fancy, very high tech. Whereas the Drake Empire is the best source point is that. Have you seen Nausicaä and the Valley of the Wind?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you should. Hayao Miyazaki movie.
Okay. Wait. So break it down for me like I'm an idiot. So the rich people live in the sky and the poor people live like a drag is not a good thing. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. The Drake Empire is very much like dregs of society. They're down there in this like poisoned area. This is the land that no one wants. This is the swamp land that we keep pushing people to because we don't want it essentially.
Okay. I want to do it with the rich people.
Rich people. Okay. So we're going to the untethered cities.
Okay.
So I put taboos in here because I was recently reading Brandon Sanderson's fantasy series. Mm-hmm. And in that fantasy series, there's a great bit about women of like certain societies wear one of their hands entirely covered. It's called their safe hand. Okay. So like one hand's exposed and one hand's covered with like cloth. And seeing like a woman's exposed safe hand is similar in like our world to like seeing like a bare-chested woman or something.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Like it seems kind of ridiculous. And it's interesting in that in the book, some cultures like follow this practice. Some of them think it's stupid and don't do it, but they still like kind of like look at it in a certain way. So it's just interesting to see like 2 different cultures seeing the same taboo and some of them saying, oh, this is taboo. Like, oh, be careful. And some of them saying, no, this is dumb. Like why your left hand's the same as your right hand. Why does it matter?
Mm.
So I think like, finding a taboo and seeing how different cultures react to it throughout the world is a cool, like very quick shorthand of kind of what those cultures represent. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So let's pick a tabooed thing within the Untethered City. So Untethered Cities in general are a, you know, kind of Manhattan-esque, a little more like steampunky collection of floating cities in the sky above the shards, the mountains of Azore.
Mm-hmm.
Very sci-fi-y rather than fantasy. Like it's more of a sci-fi realm. So kind of perfect. What's your first kind of thought of something that might be taboo in a like high intelligence, high technological society?
Is it called the Untethered Cities?
Yeah, they're called the Untethered Cities because they're literally like floating above. There is no physical tether to the land.
I think if they're smart, they're smart people. They're like advanced society?
They are. They're very smart.
Are they rich and dumb, or are they like rich and also like intelligent?
In general, it's kind of a high intelligence society. There's still like a class system. There's still like, kind of think Manhattan. There's still like poor people like just making it by in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And there's also like, you know, the hyper rich, you know, Russian oligarchs or whatever that have three apartments, whatever.
Sure. So it's called the untethered cities. Mm-hmm. I think the first taboo would be tethering yourself or any kind of tethering.
Okay.
In any way. And I mean like you give a child a balloon, there's no string. Like once you let go of it, nothing should be able to be held onto, which I think is a high concept idea. Like none of them marry.
Oh,
you're never allowed to be with one person because it's with the people that ethically
non-monogamous.
Yes.
Anyone's been on Tinder recently, you've seen that face pop up on every male profile.
Yeah, I fuck a lot of people to be a good person. that's essentially what I think. Nothing should be tied down. There should be no leases or, you know, like long-term leases. Like you live here for a month and then you have to move. Like everything should be constantly like there's no, you can't buy a land or like a house. Like
there's really like a state of flux in this place.
Yes.
It's always changing, always evolving, always moving.
Yeah. Which would be the smart thing in society. If you were like rich and stuff like that,
okay.
If you're smarter than everyone else, it's like, well, it'd be illogical to like just plant your seed or your seed is a terrible way to put it.
But
like
yeah, not great. But you know,
your druthers, whatever you have, like into one thing, you should always be like expanding.
Yeah, you got to plant those druthers everywhere you can.
Yeah,
so your wild druthers.
That's a bar in the Untethered City, wild druthers. So I think nothing should be locked in ever. You can't be with a person. You can only like have one particular. You can work at one company for like a year or you can live a place for like a year. There's like a time limit on everything because it makes sense for you to keep it moving.
Okay. So I got to think people there then. So if you're like constantly moving around, if you're constantly like finding new romantic partners, new friends, new jobs, I got to think that these people are fairly nomadic despite being wealthy in general.
Yeah. I wouldn't say nomadic. I would say that they are
maybe minimalist.
Minimalism would go along with it. Like never like buying like a long-term, you know, you should be able to get a new bed, you know, right. Every month. But I think that's cool. Like when you say there's different classes in it. So there's probably people that like are ultra rich and like just can do whatever they want and like keep their, be untethered and be like never like tied down to anything. And then when you go down, it's probably harder for people that
then
don't
you're
have.
More and more tethered. Like you're stuck in a singular job.
That's why they look down on you.
This is very fun. This is high concept, but I like it. So let's play around with, let's kind of pick one aspect of that. Let's pick, what do you want to do? Do you want to do like personal relationships? Do you want to do kind of jobs or do you want to do like home and dwelling or like possessions maybe?
Possessions are pretty easy. I think personal relationships are.
Possessions, I got to think like people just, you got the clothes on your back and they are so, my imagination is, if you only have, say, one set of clothes, it's got to be a like perfectly made set of clothes. Like this is a incredibly expensive, perfectly tailored, will last forever, maybe has some like, you know, magical pockets to store your shit.
Yeah. Because that's the taboo part, man. That's the taboo. It's like if you're rich in that society, you have new clothes. You're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to wear this suit for years to come. You're like, I'm going to get rid of this suit after the wedding. When you're poor and you can't do that in that society.
Okay.
In a different standing. Cause like, well, I can't get a new suit yet. Or like a doctor, like you can be a brain surgeon and you can do that at this hospital. You can do that at that hospital. But if you're like a janitor, I mean, I guess you can janitor anywhere, but like it's harder. There's no like mobility. There's not a lot of mobility in that. Like, so the jobs are different. The relationships you have, if you're already in that standing, like no one's going to want to date you.
Right.
So like you're probably stuck with one person or like you're not dating. Like how many people did you see this week? Two. It's like, oh yeah. So you're having like a hard life.
You're having a hard life. You're right like- so then I guess like ultra, do you think, so say you're a, you know, doctor equivalent, mm-hmm. You are someone super rich, high profile job. You're like getting, are you like buying new clothes? Is everything very disposable and like cheap in a sense?
Nothing can be like, if you're rich in this society, you should be able to, like if you're at the top echelon or even like upper middle class, you should be able to have like, the middle class should be able to have a new set of clothes like every week or 2 weeks. Rich would be getting rid of shit daily. And the people that are like poor here are like, oh, I've had this shirt for like a month. And it's like, oh, like people don't want to sit next to you, like on the subway. Like you're dirty okay. because you're tied to that shirt. You're tethered to it.
So how do people, so say I'm on the subway mm-hmm. in the untethered city. So I'm thinking just as like there's probably like a subway type system within the untethered cities, because the untethered cities are a collection of a couple of floating cities that are like essentially floating islands.
Yeah.
And I got to think connecting those is some kind of like public transit system of essentially like flying subways type things. Mm. If I'm sitting on the subway and I look across the aisle from me, how am I recognizing that someone's, how am I recognizing that someone has had something for a while? Is there like, I got to think like.
Okay. Here's what I really think. I like this a lot, actually.
Right?
If you're on the subway,
yeah,
you're there for a reason. The really ultra rich are in a different car, in a different cab. They're in a different mode of transportation. Like people, like you're not riding the subway.
Because the subway is too permanent.
Yeah.
It's like too fixed.
Being in the subway is like, or always taking the subway is like.
Is a fixed route.
You know that you're like poor with those people.
Oh, okay. So if you're there, you're already in the drag, the like lower class of
yes.
society.
Yeah. The okay. modes of transportation would be like you have a new car every day, or you have a new like Uber or cab or something, or limousine every day, as opposed to you take the G.
Right. You just take in the G.
Yeah. So already being there. Yeah. You know, like there's no like, they're probably calling each other out because they're pissed off because this is a really shitty society that I'm setting up.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of problems with society.
But yeah, like you don't have to be like you're poor. Like there could be some kind of a, you already know when you're there. But it's like I can't think of a way. Do you have an idea of like how you would know that like if you're two poor people, like how do two homeless people be like, well, you're way more homeless than I am.
I'm trying to think like if I'm thinking of clothing, right? Mm-hmm. If like clothing itself has some kind of indicator of age kind of built into it. Does that make sense? So like, if I've worn this shirt for 2 days, all of a sudden it starts to become yellow or something.
Yeah.
But not like yellowing by, sweat, like it magically changes colors.
Yeah. Oh, what if everything had a built-in counter?
Right. That's what I'm kind of thinking. So like every shirt in the world starts white and then it slowly gets darker and darker. It starts yellow and slowly gets bluer and bluer or something. So you can literally see if someone is wearing a crisp white shirt, it's day one.
Yeah.
And if it's like a pitch black shirt, that's day 365.
Oh, you want the colors to change. I want there to be a little, like a clock on every piece of like a little thing as big as like your thumbnail.
Sure, sure, sure.
That it's like, wait, that's a new shirt. It's like, yeah, I've only like for this society or this part of it. It's like, no, I've only had it for like 4 days. And it's like, well, show me your counter. It's like, no, you can believe it. No, show me your counter. And you see it and it's like 14 days. And it's like, no, I can't fuck with you.
So then I got to think even with that, I'm thinking of now Underworld, because so like if you're trying to buy a Prada bag, you know, in New York, you can also just go down to Canal Street in Chinatown and get a Drada bag.
The knockoff.
The knockoffs. So I'm almost thinking there's probably a Underworld society there that is selling fake tags or like fake shirts that always stay at one and shit like that, so that people can fake this kind of wealth.
You know where they come from too, probably? The dregs.
From the
you
the,
can only get those knockoffs if you go to the dregs, and they're like, yeah, it'll always say one if you give me X amount of dollars.
Right,
it's
right.
Like,
okay. But it's actually not a one. It's just like a fancy.
It's
towel.
Like a really like slim seven.
Yeah. They're just whited out over the top of it. Okay, I like that. So we've got kind of a clothing option, because that's kind of like the most apparent transient aspect. What about dwellings? How is that working?
Dwelling,
housing? Like housing.
Like in this world, it's dwellings. What's your dwelling?
I feel like when you only live somewhere for like a week, it's a dwelling.
Yes.
It's no longer, you know what I mean?
It's like people that can like travel a whole lot. Every time they travel, they've got like a new... Or
so you're saying that, like, this is all about van life?
Yes.
All about van life.
Rich van life. Think about like, speaking of it, like Van Halen, or think about like, I just saw St. Vincent last night, just being like, I'm rich. I'm going to get on a bus. I'm going to go to a new area and do this thing.
Okay.
Constantly.
So then what does this society in general value with this untethered aspect? Do they value like newness and like new experience? Like, I guess what, how did this taboo kind of develop, if that makes sense? Like, this transience kind of came about, but what was the ideal of society that kind of made that happen?
I feel like when you build these islands that are untethered, there's a reason they don't want to be tied down to what I believe with the dregs.
The dregs, because the dreg empire is literally within a cloud of like floating poisonous gas called the Wandering Miasma, which is poisonous. And like the dreg empire has evolved to be this kind of nomadic society that moves within and without the Wandering Miasma. They kind of like learn to live with the land, essentially.
There you go. They learn to live with that, right? They're not forward pushing people. They're like, we have our plight in life and we fucking accept it. And
okay. I think
if you're truly like, in my head, maybe that's a shitty outlook, but if you're a smart person, and it's just me as a person, like you're never really happy with like being static.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people learn to be like that, which I think the dregs have, but the people that are up here in the untethered cities are like, no, we want to push forward. So like the idea like of being transient and like never being like static on something.
Right.
Is like, if you are like, yeah, I'm going to work this job and I live in a nice area and I'm going to be here. And it's like, well, you're a fucking cuckold. You're a piece of shit. You're not going to push forward. Okay. Like, maybe you don't have the money to push forward. It's like very high school in my head as well. It's very like,
this is a very petty
and
high entropy society. I don't know how anything functions in this society, but I do like it. So let's kind of talk about, so we have this kind of idea of being untethered, being not necessarily nomadic, but free moving with your possessions, with your place of living, with your kind of interpersonal relationships, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
What do, how does the untethered cities look at other people? And how do other people look at the untethered cities? Like if I'm from, maybe not necessarily the dregs, but maybe if I'm from, you know, the Twin Ports of Saruya, which is a cosmopolitan kind of Venetian, but coastal city, and I meet someone from the untethered cities, what is my relationship with that person? Like, how do I view them in general? I think what's the kind of general vibe?
So not the dregs, but somebody.
Yeah. Kind of like across across the world. Like, cause I think the dreg empire and the untethered cities have a very like fraught relationship because they're so close. You know, it's Red Sox Yankees type thing.
Yeah.
But if you compare the Yankees to, you know, West Ham United, you know,
sure.
Different sport, different continent. What are they seeing in each other?
I think that untethered city mindset, I love talking about it. I think it's so funny. That untethered city mindset is like, you know, it's like, oh, that you're interesting. It's like when they go to another place, it's kind of like going to a zoo.
Okay.
You know, and kind of just being like, oh, look at that. Oh, you know what they do there? Like they have untethered like parties, you know, probably sex parties, probably I did some kind of sexual thing. And they're like, oh.
It feels very hedonistic. Yeah. For sure.
Very, very sophisticated.
All about the transient pleasures of life.
Yeah. And they're like, you know what they do in the Venetian society? Oh, they sleep next to another person. And they're like, what? And it's like, some of them do it nightly. And they're like, what?
I could see, I'm just kind of thinking of this in almost like a wider perspective that if you're in the untethered cities, everything's moving so fast and everything changes so often that looking at a civilization that is more like our current world where people like live in the same house, have the same partners, et cetera, that would feel like rather than being video, like, or video at high speed, that's an oil painting.
Yeah.
Like they look at it and they're like, I could stay here for 5 days and nothing changes.
Yeah.
Nothing will change. I got to think that's just a weird, just mind
jarring
for them. Yeah.
It would be jarring. It's like, I'm trying to think of like an actual correlation. We've gone together with other people to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
We went to like a town in Pennsylvania.
Did a big board game weekend for my 30th birthday.
Yes. And when we were there, we were like walking around and looking. It was kind of like, wait, how do all these people, why is there's no subway, there's no, when you go from like a big city to like a rural type of area, it's a very, for me at least, it's a very jarring, like I'm not
the,
used
the
to
world it. Does feel way slower.
Yeah.
Even more, like, I feel like, because I, you know, I grew up in Columbus, you grew up in Buffalo
yeah.
Which are both cities, but smaller cities. Mm-hmm. The difference in pace is so crazy between there and New York. Just because, like, I kind of tell people in New York when I'm like going on the subway, if I just go do an errand and come back, that feels like a fucking adventure, kind of, because you've got to like see, you know, if I'm going three subway stops, getting off, going to CVS, buying something, coming back, I'm seeing 400 people.
Yeah.
Like minimum.
That at a minimum, yeah. But there's like, so like the idea of it is they think of it as like simple, mm-hmm. like you're simplistic, which is like maybe an insult. I mean, if I went home to Buffalo, and I have done this, I don't say it out loud, but I go hang out with friends. It's like, yeah, let's go to that one bar we all went to, or, you know, let's go sit outside here. And I'm like, all right, this is a very simple,
right.
This is not, you know, going from the Lower East Side to Williamsburg to maybe like a party in like Park Slope. I'm going to take this train and get in cabs. And it's like, what's happening here? What's happening there? It's like, no, we're going to go do this. We all want to do this.
Right.
We know who's going to be there.
It's gonna be the same group as always.
Yeah. And I don't look down on it, but I do see it as simplistic.
Right.
And like slow moving. And I think if I told someone that, they would take it as like, oh, well, fuck you. Like, why would you say, you know what I mean? So that's how I think they see, like they're amazed by it, but like by its simplicity, not like that it's actually amazing.
Right. So then I think looking at it the other way, so say a person from a different continent, so say, you know, one of the elves of the Meyerwood Forest comes to the Untethered Cities, there, I'd say they're used to seeing, you know, being in a forest where things literally grow up slowly. They come to the Untethered Cities all of a sudden, and literally the face of the city changes every couple of days because people are moving, people are changing things. What would it feel like for someone in one of these more static places to come to the Untethered Cities? Like, in what ways would they be overwhelmed by the city?
Okay. Have you ever seen Minority Report?
Yeah.
Or like iRobot or
yeah.
any kind of like futuristic society
type
of movie. Like where there's cars flying and everybody's doing like, you know, you order food from like a faceless thing mm-hmm. and it just gives you a pill and it's like, oh, I'm full, like shit like that. And then that person that you're talking about from these other places, have you ever seen the Ernest movies?
Like no, Ernest, I know what you're talking about, but I have not seen
Ernest Goes
them.
Fishing, Ernest Scared Stupid. Just a dumb, like, hickey type of guy.
Yeah.
I see him being, like, not crying in the corner, but, like, totally shocked.
Sure.
By, like, a very futuristic society. But that's how I see that type of, like, interaction.
Okay.
Like a very, like, if an Amish person just suddenly moved to, like, downtown LA.
It's just a barrage on your senses.
Yeah.
So many things happening and so many things changing.
Overwhelming.
I want to do one more little bit of this before we kind of move on to our lightning round. And that is, there's lightning round coming up. I know a lot of this city changes and there's this high entropy society that everything's constantly moving and changing. People are doing different things, disposing of things, mm-hmm. not tied down to anything. The relationships that do stand a little bit, I guess my question is, if I'm always moving around, if I'm always changing things, if someone wants to find me in the Untethered Cities, how are people communicating? So say like we hang out for a night. I'm like, oh, there's a good guy. Do I never see you again? Kind of always? Or if I'm trying to then find Julian Edward Williams again, is there a mechanism for me to find you? Since you're probably not at the same address, you're not necessarily holding on to the same cell phone number equivalent. Yeah.
I feel like there's some kind of I feel like the idea of it is to be like, you know how people have like their group of friends. Mm-hmm. You have like a group of four friends and like you know who they're with. They're always with like one of these other three people, you know, in this group of four. I think that is like looked down upon. I feel like everybody like should be a social butterfly, which would tie into like you could be a social butterfly if you can afford it.
Right.
You can go have a dinner with this person. You can go. But I see what you're saying. Like, how do you connect with someone?
But
I mean, there's got to be something like, I mean, we can dumb it down and be like, yeah, maybe they don't change their cell phone numbers, but they change their cell phones. Maybe you're assigned a cell phone number at birth.
Well, part of me is thinking like if you're in this like higher echelon, because I'm thinking the lower echelon probably maintains some of these social relationships.
They can't help it. They're poor.
Right. And they're kind of stuck in the same place. They hold on to their personal relationships mm-hmm. and are maybe able to get rid of some of the physical things. Once you get higher up, you start kind of taking that untethered aspect more seriously, eschewing all of your personal relationships. I'm just kind of wondering like what that does to the upper class of society, because they have no connections. They have no physical connections. They have no tether to a location. They have no tether to other people. Is the upper echelon of society just like megalomaniacs? Are they like crazy? Are they hedonistic? Like what?
I think there's,
what would that do to a mind?
You know, I think when you rise up to get to that, I think you just don't care anymore.
Right.
I think there's something about like just having all them, like of the, being the high society of already the high society. You don't care who you're with. You don't care what happens below you. You care about like these taboos and stuff, but you don't any kind of like attachment to anything. Like you just don't give a shit. Where the people, sure, that are like lower, like, no, it's taboo to be like, I've had this shirt for like a week, but like they care because they can only afford that. They can't get a new shirt
right
every day.
It's like really taking care of your like brand new shoes, making sure they stay white.
Yes.
Whereas someone at the upper echelon is just like, I'll just get another pair of shoes.
I'll get another pair of shoes. I'll get the newest pair that just came out. Or maybe we should build shoes. Or maybe they're smart enough to like be in a society or like be a scientist. We're like, I'm working on shoes that like, you know, always stay white and would only be affordable to people that could only afford shoes that always stay white.
But then they'd be tethered down to their shoes.
Yes. That would be the big change. There should be like some kind of like little, like, I feel like in this thing that we've built is like some kind of like Romeo and Juliet, like,
oh yeah,
or type of like, I really want to be with this person, but it's very looked down upon to like stay with one person. Or like, I want a shirt. I want to keep the shirt for a long time, but I don't want anyone to shit on me, or like, dude, like I can't get into bars or
jobs. I could see that stuff being a good like in-world movie or book or piece of entertainment or like play, that two of these, you know, upper class people who are so transient and just like live life moment by moment, cross and have this like romantic affair or something, and then have to go back to this lifestyle, but still want to find each other.
Yeah.
There is very much that star-crossed lovers thing of them having to decide to like strip away their concept of like what this taboo is.
Yeah.
And have to like be okay with that and settle down into kind of like a lower class of people who care less about this.
Yeah. And if you're that high up, you are like, it's like you're in the tabloids. You're in People magazine. Sure. You're in like, people know that like, oh no, you know, these two people hung out twice in a row instead, right, of seeing other people.
Huh.
What's going on there? And that's like the trickle down theory. Like it goes down to like, mm-hmm, you know, the lower, like even the drags are like, you know, they hung out for 3 days in a row. Like, I didn't know anything. In my head, they're like, you ever see the Caveman show? Or like the Geico commercials with
the Caveman? You watched the Caveman show?
I watched a little bit
that
of
was
it.
That was on for 2 seconds.
I those 2 seconds, I was there for it. I had the remote in my hand. Good? No, it's terrible.
Okay.
But that's what the dregs look like in my head.
Just all the Caveman show. Woof.
I hope that works. I think that might be a fun place to...
It does. I think it does. And I think there's like some cool stuff to play there of like going into the high society and seeing what that looks like, how it's like, I would imagine it'd be like tough to find someone if you're like trying to find a person.
Yeah.
I gotta think also those people are very, I would imagine them like in the world of D&D being, you know, wizards or like high intelligence people. Cause they only like, they essentially live with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, train themselves. You know, I would imagine these people are like very fit cause they like train their body. They train their mind.
Yeah.
Rather than spending that energy on interpersonal social relationships, they perfect themselves in a way.
Yeah, it's like
in like a monastic way,
like the Lord of the Rings, to bring up something I don't like, but like how there was a Gandalf,
mm-hmm,
and then there was the other what was the wizard that fought him?
Sauron?
Sure.
Or Saruman.
That wasn't the big
Sauron's eye. The eye, Saruman's the wizard.
So there was only like two of them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the people that I'm talking about. Like they're just way further advanced than like the hobbits and like the whole fight of like the hobbits, elves and like man and like the dislike or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're just above.
Sure.
Like that type of mindset. Like, oh, you guys are stupid because none of this matters.
Hell yeah. I think that's, we got some really great fucking stuff there. Very cool.
I hope you can use it,
man. Talking about the taboos of this. You fucking load that stuff into canon. Fire directly into the 20-sided podcast, because that is within the Fractured Realms now.
Okay.
We are going to move on to our second of two segments. We've got two segments on the show. One is the Wheel of World Building. The second is...
A Lightning Round!
Put a lot of reverb
on. So much
that.
Reverb. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a little pew, pew, pew. It's going to be great. Got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
So within the Untethered Cities, and we've kind of established some, you know, upper, middle, and lower classes. What is a rumor that is currently going around the untethered cities? It could be factual. It could be just a rumor. What's something that people are hearing?
People are hearing about the creation of a new untethered city. A very, but it's not like it'll be all the gossip about it. Is it like, the richest people? Is it for people that can't even afford to be at the lowest level of the untethered? Like no one knows what it's about, but there's a new one forming and even the top people don't know who it's about. I'm assuming there's some kind of government.
Yeah.
Some kind of thing. Somebody's in, or some group is in charge and no one really knows what's happening or even if it's going to happen, but it keeps going around.
So people are just talking about like, currently there are three major cities in the untethered cities. So people just keep talking about this strange fourth city.
Yeah, that's going to be, and it could be, some people are like, it's like I'm assuming there's some kind of law aspect. Mm-hmm. So like, it could be like how, like Australia is basically, it was the
penal colony.
Yeah, the penal colony for England. So it'd be like that, or some people are like, oh, it could be like a Love Island type of situation.
Right.
The hottest and best people, the richest people get to go to.
It's just a game show city.
Yeah. And people are tired. Maybe they're tired of children. It's like, well, we're going to put all the children that are born after this date there. So it will only be like people pushing forward.
That is another thing we didn't discuss. I'm gonna hold off for it for later, but
okay.
What do families look like?
They don't.
When you have a child, what happens to that child?
I'm just thinking about this for the first time now. So I gotta think that over.
I'm gonna let that one hang. Let that one hang in the air because I think it's a good question that we should come back
for
to
sure. Yeah.
For a later episode. Second question, somewhere within the untethered cities, what is the name of a person that is either prominent, not prominent, and what is like the most interesting or noteworthy thing about them?
Allo Cartwright.
Allo Cart. How do you spell allo?
Like A-L-O-E.
A-L-O-E. Okay, cool. And what is noteworthy about them? This could be an occupation. This could be a physical feature, a mannerism.
They are the richest, most advanced person in the untethered cities. But no one, they're like a Gatsby. No one really understands why. No one knows where, like how they got that way.
Sure.
Like he's that one person. I mean, it could be a they, them. Could be like, they don't even identify as like anything. There's no
pronoun. Okay.
It's allo.
Oh, that's an interesting thing too. Like a untetheredness of identity of self.
Yeah. Like that's like the final, like I'm not tethered to who I am. Like he's that enlightened. But
sure.
No one, but he doesn't go to hang out with even like the upper echelon. Like if a sighting of him is like a Bigfoot type of thing.
Very cool.
Allo Cartwright. I like that.
Allo Cartwright. Yeah, I fucking love that. The third one is kind of a two-parter. So the third question is always, you're going to ask a question you have about the world that will be answered by our next guest. However, our last guest, Chinook, had a question for you, and this is his question.
Okay.
Okay, so my question is, this is very specific.
Hell yeah.
But what is this world's equivalent to the Wu-Tang Clan?
So what is this, the Fractured Realms world equivalent to the Wu-Tang Clan?
That's actually really interesting.
Right?
It would probably be kind of like a musical collective of, I don't know where they are financially, like society-wise, but a musical collective. But much like the Wu-Tang Clan, they don't work together. Like the Wu-Tang Clan is like the untethered like rap group. Like they're never together. I've tried to see Wu-Tang like two or three times. Not all of them show up. There might be one
just
person
a weird
rapping.
Collection of people.
Yeah. So something like that. I don't know a name for it. Like to call it the Golden Ratio Bunch or something like that.
But the Golden Ratio Bunch. You realize whatever you say becomes canon.
The Golden Ratio Bunch. I don't know how much like this rap group that can't work together because like the whole point of the society is never to really work together.
That does kind of like fit perfect. I love these guys came together one night, produced a bunch of music, and then now they're just everywhere using the same name.
Yeah. Or you know what would make more sense is that they are a dreg. Because there was a whole movement with Wu-Tang where it was like this thing. That was like a very big, like when it came out, like the early 90s, it was like, you know, there was Biggie Smalls and there was Tupac, but there was no like grimy. Even Biggie was from Brooklyn. There was no grimy, grimy, like dirty, like we're going to do this no matter fucking what. Mm-hmm. We're like not like rapping about like, you know, having mansions and shit like that. We're like, we sell drugs and we've seen people killed. And that's kind of what we know. And I feel like they're dregs. And like that could be like the uprising.
Okay.
Like a musical uprising.
Musical uprising what from leads the dregs.
Yeah, it's like, no, your music's fucking, yeah, we should have more. We should be doing whatever the fuck we want to do. We should be able to go to the untethered cities.
So I think this like soundtrack with this music is kind of like coming up literally from the dregs of sight, like kind of coming up, hitting the lower classes and then slowly like moving its way
the
up.
Golden Ratio Bunch is like more, it's the Wu-Tang Clan of the dregs, but it's like a Bob Dylan-esque, like the times they are a changing type of movement. That's hell what I yeah. think of it. Gotta be a better name. I fucked that up. I really couldn't think of anything.
This is the power you wield. That is now canon in the world. I'm sorry, Chinook.
Yeah, good question. It's a very
it is a good question. So then the last part of this is, what is a question you have about the world that will be answered by our next guest? Be anything big or small.
Who are the leaders of the coming conflict between the dreg society and the untethered cities? Because at some point, there's got to be some kind of like, they're just floating above.
Yeah.
So like people, that has to... Like, they're probably disgusted with below, and they're like, fuck you to above.
Oh, yeah.
That has to come to some kind of, like, civil war.
Some kind
maybe
of...
Maybe just, head. Not even civil, just war type of thing. Mm-hmm. So who are the leaders of both of those factions?
Are you looking for, like, names of generals or, like, presidents or whatever?
Not even answering. Who are the... Sometimes it might be just, like, it only takes one voice. To make a movement. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. That's going to be the title of the episode.
Maybe it's like one like woman that just could be like, I'm sick of this. I want to go to the untethered cities. And like, just follow me. And I've got the golden ratio bunch is behind me. Let's fucking do this. And
maybe it's golden ratio bunch.
Maybe it's like, what is it? Allo Cartwright. It's just like, no, we're going to keep them down. I've come out of hiding to be like, but no, maybe it's someone else. Cause I already made that person. But who are the leaders of the growing... Of the conflict growing between the two factions, who are the leaders there?
Awesome.
I'll leave it open for that.
I think that's great. And once again, to steal a line from Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's all for this episode of Cannon Fodder. If you want to see all of today's world building put into action, you can check out our parent show, The 20-Sided Podcast. All 11 episodes of our first season titled Escape from the RMS Titanfall are available now on all the podcast services you can imagine. So please check it out. It was a lot of fun to make. Julian, you want to tell the people where they can find you and anything you want to plug?
Yeah, my website, which is jewilliamsart.com, and then my Instagram, and that's just my full name, Julian Edward Williams. And I have some if you go to one of those two, I have some stuff coming up that I don't want to talk about yet, but if you go to those, you'll find out. If you know type of thing.
Keep an eye out for fun new stuff on Julian's feed. Keep an eye out on this feed for more fun new stuff from Cannon Fodder and from the 20-Sided Podcast. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Bye.